true worshiper. The Bible said they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. True worshipers worship Him in spirit and in truth. Can you say amen? So communion really fits right into this theme of being a true worshiper, because at the core of being a true worshiper is how you value Jesus and what He's done for you in your own heart. Can you say amen? It's where you hold Him in your heart that qualifies you or disqualifies you as a true worshiper of God. It's not what we do on the outside. It's the activity on the outside per se. It's what is happening on the inside. See, a true worshiper of God doesn't quit worshiping when the worship service at church ends. When we walk out the door, we do everything to what? We do everything to the glory of God. We continue to live our life in a way that shows where we hold Him in our heart. And that is the very bedrock of true worship, is where we hold Him in our heart. Jesus he quoted an Old Testament scripture, so it's in both the Old and New Testament. It said, "You draw nigh to me with your lips." And we can do that by just following a praise leader, a worship leader, but your heart is far from me. And how did He determine whether the heart was close to Him or not? Amen. He determined by whether or not people would obey Him, would follow through with their devotional commitment from their lips and actually begin to obey Him. The Bible said, if a man love me, he's going to keep my commandments, and they won't be grievous unto him. They won't put a long face on him by doing so. David literally said, I found such freedom in following the Lord that I will run the way of His commandments. I won't be tentative in seeking to follow my great shepherd king. Can you say amen? I will run the way of thy commandments. Hallelujah. If you're going to run the race effectively, saith the Spirit, then run the way of my word. If you're going to run to win, follow my teaching. If you want to overcome, listen and learn and apply what I say unto you. For I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, victory, peace, and contentment. Therefore, walk in my ways, yea, run in my ways, and see my glory, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Let me read the scripture this morning and let's try to find out where our hearts are, where our hearts really are. If you're going to be a true worshiper and you don't have a heart for God, everything you do is going to be disqualified, because God's going to look past all of the emotional expression of what we call worship. We got worship really messed up and mixed up. We think worship service is something you flip on Sunday, you flip off by the end of the day, and we go Monday through Saturday without any idea or any expression of worship to God. And I'm not just talking about singing along with a tape in your car. I'm talking about how and where Jesus fits into the busyness of your life and mine. Can you say amen? True worshipers have Him in first place. Amen. He's not someone we just use when we have a problem. He's someone we love because what He did for us, the fact of the cross, remains. It's stationary. It doesn't move, praise God. Amen. It doesn't change with the changing circumstances of life. Let me read a very familiar verse of Scripture to you from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 21, to put verse 19 in context. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Say it with me, the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Everybody say, for me. It's getting personal now. Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, gave Him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Amen. We're preparing our hearts to receive Holy Communion today, or more commonly known as the Lord's Supper. We've been studying the theme of true worship, and one of the things we learned from that is that true worship involves worship. Everybody say that with me, worship. And worship means how you value Jesus. how you hold him in your heart, how you hold him in your life. I've heard some terrible, terrible misrepresentations of Scripture. We want formulas, faith formulas, to get what we feel we need and what we want in our life. A lot of us are kind of like, my name is Jimmy, I want all you'll give me in our prayer life. Instead of, Lord, I came here, number one, to adore you, to worship you, and above all, to thank you and show gratitude and honor for what you have done for me on the cross. Can you say amen? When David went to the temple, he knew he was going to get a blessing. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go up into the house of the Lord. But David went to the temple for more than just getting a blessing by being in proximity to that one that was behind the veil. He said, I will do what? Bless the Lord at all times. Can you say amen? I will do what? I will bless the Lord out of a heart of love and gratitude. I want to bless the Lord. I want to find out what pleases him, and I want to do it with all my heart. If dancing before the Lord, amen, from a pure heart of praise pleases him, then I'm not just going to dance before the Lord. I'm going to dance before the Lord that I might bless him. Therefore, I'm going to dance before the Lord with all my heart. Amen. David wasn't dancing to get a blessing. David was dancing to be a blessing. But when you do it for that reason, God certainly is going to bless you. David might have started out without a liver shiver. David could have started out without a goose pimple on his goose pimple. David could have started out without any sense of the presence of God, but a deep sense, amen, of the grace and the love of God that had forgiven him and restored him and showed grace to the nation of Israel. Can you say amen? David probably started out just to thank God, because that's the kind of man he was. I will bless the Lord. And the reason he could do it at all times is he wasn't waiting for some emotional high to stimulate him to do that. It was what God had done for him that stimulated him to do that. Can you say amen? You don't sit in here and wait for God to show up before you start responding. God showed up for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. Can you say amen? And we come in here to bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. I will bless the Lord at all times, because at all times he's a blessing to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You keep that in your heart, we're going to be a little people that is known as a people of revival. People are going to be drawn to us and want to be around us, because we're not on the roller coaster of emotion. We're into something that transcends our emotions. I don't want to tell you what I've been through this week, and frankly, I don't want to hear what you've been through. Not now. There's a time and place for that. We do need to pray for one another, and we do need to confess our faults, and we need to ventilate to one another. Amen? That's okay in its place, but this isn't the place. This isn't the time. We've come here for one great purpose this morning. As redeemed children of the Most High God, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, we've come here to give him the glory, give him the honor that is due his great name. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. Why? Because what he's done stands. No matter what else happens, it stands. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. No matter how they attack the cross, there it stands. No matter how much time has passed since he hung on that cross, there it stands. Can you say amen? No matter how you feel at a given time, it still stands. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if I glory, I will glory in the cross, whereby I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. What do you mean? It means the world will never understand and appreciate the reason for my joy and happiness, peace and love. They think I'm over-emotional. Of course, if the Bucks win a game, they can go haywire. I mean, they turn over cars in some cities when a sports team wins. Amen. We have never ran out in the parking lot and overturned Sean's pickup truck out of sheer joy. We just got to do something to show our joy. Let's roll his truck over. I mean, there are no cows to tip around here. Let's just go. You don't understand cow tipping. I mean, it's what you do in Plant City East. Amen. When you're bored on Saturday night, they're asleep standing up. You just run out there and knock him over just to Just anyway, I don't know why they do that. Somebody should call the SPCA or something. No wonder they're giving buttermilk anyway. Makes them nervous. I can't sleep anymore. Them boys are going to come and knock me over. There was a cartoon not long ago where the cow came back and knocked some guys over that had been cow tipping. I just had that in my mind today. Very spiritual man this morning. You know something? I wouldn't give anything for the joy of the Lord and the peace of Jesus that's in my heart. I want to be the man at work that stands out in the crowd, being known as a man of joy. I want to be known as a man of peace. I want people to know that what I have in Jesus Christ isn't based on the material things in my life. Amen. He's given me food and raiment. He's given me what I need. Let me ask you something. How many people expect to eat good Thanksgiving Day? If you don't, we're going to see to it that you do. I'll tell you that right up front. How many expect to eat a big meal on Thanksgiving Day? Amen. How many expect to eat a little more than you normally would eat for lunch on Tuesday afternoon at work or something? How many expect to eat a little more? You're not going to eat those smaller portions. It's Thanksgiving. You're going to celebrate. Amen. How many maybe will eat turkey or ham? How many are going to eat turkey and ham? Amen. And anything that don't eat you first, can you say amen? Deviled eggs that's a tradition. Turkey is a tradition. Stuffing is a tradition. Pumpkin pie is a tradition. One man told me at work that cherry pie is his son's favorite. And his wife makes a cherry pie that is no one else's. It's his son's cherry pie. And before Thanksgiving Day is over, that cherry pie will be gone. And it'll all be gone into one place and one boy who can't get enough of it. It's his pie. He doesn't share that pie because mom bakes that pie for me. Can you say amen? That's Thanksgiving. Right after Thanksgiving dinner, when you're kind of like you've eaten till you're full, till you couldn't even eat another bite of anything. Amen. What are you? You're probably going to sit down in that fullness. You're probably going to relax in that fullness. Amen. You're just. And somebody said, "Do you want any more of this?" No, you're satisfied. Amen. You know what Jesus said should be happening spiritually in our life? You know what he said should be happening spiritually? He said, "My body is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." He's talking about participating in a fulfilling, authentic relationship in him. Can you say amen? We that can't find time to find what we need in him, amen, we need to take the time to find what we need in him, and we wouldn't have to spend our time trying to find what will fulfill us, just like everybody else running hurry scurry out in the world. He said, we're going to use the tokens today of his blood and body that was given for us, but it wasn't just given for us, it was given to us spiritually. Can you say amen? Jesus said, "My body is meat indeed. I'm the true bread that came down out of heaven, and my body is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And whoever eats of my body and drinks of my blood," listen to this, "just like after Thanksgiving dinner, he will never hunger. He will never thirst." So whatever's driving you today, amen, to seek fulfillment here, to seek fulfillment there, at the cost of not seeking God and keeping him in first place, I'm telling you, you're never going to find it there. You're never going to find it here. You're only going to find it where he said you can find it, and that's in him. If you ever get more than just a little Sunday morning go to church relationship with God so that he can become your bread and your drink, he will fulfill the deepest longings of your life and soul. Amen. And the greatest barrier against temptation is being so full of him. So full of him. If we keep emphasizing the spiritual and material and the flesh instead of the spirit, people are not going to be fulfilled in him. And unless we have the 5-bedroom, 6-bathroom house on the hill, we feel we can't be happy in life. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're already happy in him. But if you're not happy in him, that big house on the hill is not going to make you truly happy. I venture to say, if you're not happy in him where you are, no matter where you go, you'll never be happy. Because you'll be saying, if I could only. I mean, if our sister here could only get a starring role in a detective series. Kind of like a slender, younger version of Miss Marple. Can you say amen? Oh, she would be happy. No, if she's not happy in Jesus this morning as a Christian, no matter what allocates are given her, what financial blessings are given her, if she can't find peace and joy in Jesus sitting right here, right now, having food and raiment in Christ, amen, if she can't find contentment, whatever she pursues is going to end up leaving her high and dry and empty. There are lonely people living in a crowd today. Can you say amen? Because they haven't found the friend that sticks closer than a brother in their life. Can you say amen? And there are people living in almost seclusion somewhere, amen, that seem to have no friends and no neighbors, but they have Jesus and somehow they have found happiness. Isn't it incredible, amen, how many people are pursuing what every Christian should have as a legacy of just knowing Christ as their Savior. But it's not just getting your sins forgiven. It's coming into a fulfilling relationship where His body and His blood literally are what satisfies our spiritual man and life. Be so good to get free from the prison of want. Enjoy Jesus and enjoy life. Amen. So many people sacrifice a relationship with God so they can work more to have more. It's incredible that we would give up a relationship with Him, because whatever you're getting will never take the place of what He offers you. Can you say amen? He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. In Him are hid, the Bible said, all the treasuries of wisdom and of knowledge. He said, I am the bread of life. I'm the true bread. Amen. I'm the spiritual bread that came down out of heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They ate it for their physical body. It came from heaven, but it wasn't for their spirit man. Can you say amen? It was indeed for their physical nourishment. But He said, the bread that I have become is different bread. It is not for your physical nourishment. It is for your spiritual nourishment. But when you partake of this bread, amen, you partake in essence of my body. And when you do that, and when you drink of my blood, partake of me totally spiritually, amen, then you're going to find the sustenance you need in your soul, the fulfillment you need in your heart, the peace and the joy and the strength and the power that He offers will come from that relationship with Him. If you don't have that relationship with Him, whatever you're chasing in life is like a dog chasing its tail. Can you say amen? You chase it, you chase it, you chase it, and when you finally catch it, it hurts instead of helping you. Hello? You ever seen a dog catch his tail and bite it because he's frustrated because it kept running from him? And then he yelps because it hurts. Some of you are going to get what you want, but not want what you get. Amen. Some people say, I got to have that man, I got to have that woman. Nothing will suffice me. Nothing in life, Christ, God, heaven, Holy Spirit, nothing but her will satisfy me. Wrong. If you don't find happiness in Him, you're not going to find happiness in her. If you don't find happiness in Him, you're not going to find happiness in them. Can you say amen? And what a trip to put on somebody to try to fulfill that God-shaped vacuum in your life. This woman cannot possibly be fulfilling enough to me to fulfill that place that only God can inhabit in my life. I would not ask that of her. But it's so good to have God in that right place and to have Pamela too. What a blessing. Can you say amen? And now I can actually be giving to her and not just demanding all the time that she fulfill me. Too many people have bailed out of a marriage because the classic answer is, he just doesn't fulfill me. Well, he's not supposed to be your total fulfillment. There's a place for Jesus in your heart. Well, she doesn't fulfill me anymore. Amen. I remember when I went to one of the Jesus festivals, Jesus 85 or Jesus 79, I guess it was 79, I think it was a Jesus festival in Orlando. My son and I slept in a tent and we were out there, you know, just felt like a bunch of Jesus hippies, I guess. You know, we were sleeping on the ground and they were praising Jesus. There was a praise group before the contemporary music scene really developed called Candle. And they said, come on, rejoice and let your heart sing. Come on, rejoice, give praise to the King. We hadn't heard anybody sing like that. We usually sung, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go on till I reach. In other words, I can't hardly make it, you know. But we heard a song of joy, a joyous expression of praise, and I heard Jamie Buckingham speak outdoor at that great meeting. There was over 1,000 people there, about 1,500. And I heard him speak, and he said he had a close friend of his that was a church-going man, supposed to be a dedicated Christian man, that had left his wife of many, many, many years. He was over 60 years of age. He was seeing a woman that was about 35 or 36 years old. And I'm not saying you can't fall in love. I'm saying you don't leave your mate. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying the age thing is bad, because I'm much older than Pamela. So I can't talk. She's a younger woman, but at any rate, amen, by a couple of years. But I'm not talking about that kind of disparity. I'm talking about leaving somebody because you're unfulfilled. As a Christian, we know why the world is unfulfilled. Yeah. We know why the woman at the well had been through five relationships and now had given up on marriage totally and was just living with a man. Jesus said, I know what you're looking for. He didn't just start picking her apart because of sin. Or telling her she's some kind of unholy person. You know what he said? He said, if you drink of the water that's at this well, you're going to thirst again. But if you knew who it was, come on, church, if you knew who it was. This goes beyond what you know about church and what little you know about the Bible. This is meeting Jesus in a bona fide, born again, authentic, fulfilling relationship and walking with him. Can you say amen? If you knew who it was that said unto you, give me to drink, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. In other words, what you're looking for in all of these relationships, you will find in me. And then sin won't be able to get you and tell you you need something, amen, that breaks the laws of God to fulfill you. You can live within my laws and be fulfilled. Can you say amen? I'm not here to take from you, lady. I'm here to give you something. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly than you've ever had it or could even know it. Hallelujah. So God offers us a lot more than a Sunday morning, go to church, keep the rules experience. He offers us his son, and Jesus offers us his self. Amen? Fulfillment, contentment, godliness with contentment is the true riches of the Bible, because the Bible said godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. The Bible said to live joyfully with the wife of your youth, to be happy with your mate. Live joyfully with the wife of your youth. You say, well, she's not the wife of my youth anymore. You know, time has passed and things have changed. Well, what the Bible is saying is, remember how joyful you were when you first got married. I want you to maintain that level of love and keep that flame burning by doing your first works. Amen? That's how you get it back with God. That's how you keep it between each other. Can you say amen? Doing your first works. Doing. Remember what you did to try to get her to look at you? Have you ever noticed? We watched a redbird this morning. We went out and sit and saw the glory of the morning. And we got a redbird family that's living in our backyard. And you don't see too many cardinals except in the church. But anyway, these were redbirds. These were redbird cardinals. And we're trying to convert them. But anyway, they've come to our backyard. We got doves. We got squirrels. We got redbirds, blue jays, some little bitty birds. I don't know what they are, but we love them all. And they're welcome in our backyard. There's a safe place back there. The dog loves them. She's happy to have company. So the redbird, he's the pretty one. The redbird is the pretty one. Amen. Isn't that incredible that the male has to have the plumage? Amen. Across the board, the male has that attracts the female because of his colorful. I mean, there's birds that have this big fan tail, and they fan it out and look around to see if she's looking. Ah, look at this. Get a load of this. Can you say amen? I'm not talking about that other, you know, I'm talking about plumage. Amen. Amen. But the female, she's just kind of bland, washed out color, nothing special. Amen. She's just, you know, the male has to draw attention. And you remember what you used to do to get her attention? Remember what we used to do to get their attention? We would do those little things, those little stupid love things. Amen. Those little things like, my wife still loves, if I go to work and write "I love you" on a napkin by where she prepared my lunch and sit it there, and I just write on the napkin, "I love you." I didn't realize it meant anything, you know, that much. And yet the other day she says, "I like your love notes." And I thought, deja vu. Wow. I still got it. Can you say, man? This is going back. Remember in school you get a little note and it says, you know, so-and-so likes you, or "I love you," and a little heart, put a heart on it, or maybe some X's and O's, and that's not some kind of secret code, that was kisses and hugs, and say, whoa! Remember Valentine's Day when you got a Valentine from someone you secret, and sometimes it would say, and this would really get you, remember those days, it would say a Valentine, and you'd get it, and it would say love from a secret admirer. Oh, and you go back to school after Valentine's Day and you look at it, every girl in the classroom thinking, yeah, they like me, they dig me. Who's your daddy? I didn't put that on my Valentine card. What are you saying? I'm saying when love is new and love is passionate and love is enthusiastic, love gets a little crazy, it gets a little stupid sometimes, and David begins to love God and appreciate Him for being so merciful to him and to the nation of Israel. Though they had sinned, God had restored them. Though they had lost favor with God, the ark was coming back to its rightful place. Amen. They treated the holy things with irreverence, and people had died as a result of it, but now the ark is being reverently brought back to its place. We're going to be right with our God again. God is going to be pleased with us. I must do something to show how I hold Him in my heart. Amen. So the dance David did was not a dance for David to get a blessing. David didn't start dancing to get a blessing. He started dancing before the Lord to bless the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come and magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Can you say amen? But as he danced before the Lord, I have absolutely no doubt that the presence of God and the power of God would come to receive that blessing upon him. Can you say amen? And I believe by the time he got to the end of that dance, he forgot all about being a king of a nation. He forgot all about protocol. He forgot all about the dignities that you're supposed to show as the king. Amen. He got lost in love for the Lord and lost in worship. And my Bible said he danced before the Lord with all of his might. And his wife began to chide him for doing so. And he said, "Woman," he said, "I will get even more undignified than this." Amen. In my worship of God, I will not think about what other people think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not for them. This is for him. Somebody give him praise in this place today. It's for him. Now, I am not advocating that we become people that don't reverence God, that just live to feel something. What I'm saying is when Jesus is first place in your heart, amen, it causes praise and worship to just be pulled from the inside up on the outside of you. The Bible becomes a love letter from God, not a book full of rules and regulations that box you in, but something that keeps you from being harmed by the enemy and sets you free to serve him. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. They won't be grievous to you. Let me hurry. Time is swiftly passing. So he told the woman at the well, "I understand you seeking fulfillment in relationships, but I'm offering you relationship." And that doesn't mean she couldn't find a good husband and find a good life and go on from there. What it means is she would find in him the primary fulfillment of her life is in Christ. And now the demand on someone else, or the compromises to get someone else to pay attention, is not going to be there anymore. Amen? And she's going to be valued by somebody finally, amen, for who she is in the Lord, rather than just what she can offer. And when they're tired, they go get another one. Well, Jamie Buckingham came to this man came to Jamie Buckingham and at home, and because he knew Jamie had been trying to call him and as a brother, wanting to ask him about this new relationship, and that he heard he was leaving his wife of many years. He's a Christian. He works in the church. He's supposed to be a leader. And he says to him, "Why are you doing this? What is happening in your life?" He says, "Jamie, I can't help it. I just can't help it. She fulfills me." Jamie Buckingham said to that crowd of 1,500, "El Toro poo-poo." It's about as nice as you can put it and stay sanctified. That's baloney. That's just flesh still looking for something. What did you two say? This kind of pop group icon. What was one of their songs? "I've been here, I've been there, I've looked here, I've looked there, I've been everywhere. I still haven't found what I'm looking for." You know why? Because it can only be found in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Not in people, not in things, not in a change of places. If I could win the lotto and move to Spain, I would just sit in some beautiful mansion overlooking the sea in Spain, enjoy the climate. I would live in Spain. Amen. Because the rain in Spain falls gently on the plain. Can you say amen? I wouldn't bother going to Spain. Amen. I'd go out west somewhere where never is heard a discouraging word. And the skies are not cloudy all day. Somewhere out on the range. Can you say amen? Way out on the range somewhere. No, it's not on the range. Amen. It's not in Spain. It's not in a circumstance, a place. It's not even in a person on this planet. It's in Christ. Man was made for God, and there's a place inside of man that only God can fulfill. There's a spiritual part of you. Can you say amen? And until that part of you is fulfilled, the outside of you is going to keep looking. Never finding anything that lasts. Oh, but I love the camp meeting song said, I looked for him and knew not what I looked for. I longed for him and knew not what I longed for. Then I found Jesus. Yeah. I have a counter song to you twos. I haven't found what I'm looking for. And it's, "I have found what I'm looking for." I have a counter song, amen, to the Rolling Stones, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." And it is, "He satisfies the deepest longings of my heart and soul." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And because He satisfies me, guess what? She satisfies me. Because I don't demand of her what only He can give me. And I can actually be giving to her. And guess what? The more giving I am to her, the more blessing she is to me. Somebody give God praise. It's a win-win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christians still chase their tails. We should be partaking of Jesus in a spiritual relationship that totally fulfills our life. You know? We got a bumper sticker that says, "Christ is the answer." We want to tell the world what you need is not drugs. What you need is not illicit sex. What you need is not this and that, money, fortune, fame. What you need is Jesus. And every time you slap that bumper sticker on or wear that lapel pin, you're saying, "Hey, look at me and my life." Can you say, man? Have you found what you're looking for? If you haven't, God wants you to find it in Him. In Him. In Him. I don't have to love my wife less to love Him supremely. Can you say amen? Because divine love is compartmentalized from physical love and emotional love. Somebody asked the question when we get to heaven, and the guy has had, you know, he's been married and he lives a long time, and the first wife dies, and then he's free to marry again. His second wife dies, he's free to marry again. Third wife dies. When he gets to heaven, when he finally dies, when he gets to heaven, which one of them is going to live with him in the mansion? Who's going to be his wife in heaven? Can you say amen? Good question. And, you know, Jesus was talking about something far beyond emotional. Listen, we're not going to be in a husband-wife emotional relationship. We're going to love each other like God loves us, and we're going to love with the love of the Lord, and it's going to be on a spiritual level that transcends mere emotion. Can you say, man? It's going to be different. It's not going to be, you say, well, what about sexuality in heaven? You won't need it there. Amen. Amen. You won't need it there. Some people have a problem with going there if it isn't there. Amen. Well, I'm telling you something. Heaven beats it. Paul said, I've been there, and it's better there than here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's something better. There's something in Jesus that is so satisfying and fulfilling. I'm telling you, church, if we want to overcome the tempter and want to quit chasing our tail like the dog, amen, we need to find in him what he said he wants to give us in him. But you can't have that by just going to church every now and then. You can't get that from just singing in the choir or playing an instrument. You have to develop a personal relationship with Christ so the Holy Spirit can manifest him to you in a way that fulfills you, so that you eat of his body, you drink of his blood, and it satisfies the deepest longing of your soul. And you're delivered from that prison of want. Hallelujah. And you have godliness and clothing, godliness and food, godliness and a shelter, and you are content, happy, fulfilled. The Lord is my shepherd. I've been delivered from the prison of want. That drives people a lifetime trying to get something to satisfy. David said, the Lord's my shepherd. It's settled. I shall not want. I'm out of the prison of want. Can you say amen? Everybody say delivered from the prison of want. I like the way Shambaugh used to preach it. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without him, we're empty shells of people. The Bible speaks of being strengthened in the inward man. We're not just talking about power, but a person who comes to live within you. Oh. The Lord's Supper is worship because it expresses the infinite worth of Christ. No one is more worthy to be remembered. No one is more worthy to be proclaimed. And no one can nourish our souls with eternal life and fulfillment but Jesus Christ. No one. While it's true, salvation is the gift of God, it comes at a terrible cost. The suffering and dying. Not just the death of Jesus, but the suffering and dying of Jesus Christ. I like the paraphrase of 1 Peter. It says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but has now revealed him unto you in these last days. I want to read you a story about how precious blood can become when it is shed or given in behalf of another. This is a true story. From the Daily Encounter by Chaplain Robinson. He's an older guy. He said, in 1949, my father had just returned from the war. On every highway, you could see soldiers in uniform hitchhiking home to their families. The thrill of his reunion with his family was soon overshadowed by his grandmother's illness. There was a problem with her kidneys. They had begun to fail. The doctors told my father that she needed a blood transfusion immediately or she would not live through the night. Grandmother's blood type was AB negative, a very rare type. In those days, there were no blood banks like there are today. No one in the family had that type blood, and the hospital had not been able to find anyone with that rare type. The doctor gave our family little hope. My dad decided to head home for a little while to change clothes and then return for the inevitable goodbyes. As my father was driving home, he passed a soldier in uniform hitchhiking. Deep in grief, my father was not going to stop, but something compelled him to pull over. The soldier climbed in, but my father never spoke. He just continued driving down the road toward home. The soldier could tell my father was upset as a tear ran down his cheek. The soldier asked about the tear, my father began telling the stranger that his mother was going to die because the hospital couldn't find anyone who could donate AB negative blood. My father explained that he was just heading home to change clothes. That's when he noticed the soldier's open hand with the dog tags in it that read AB negative. The soldier told my father to turn the car around, head back to the hospital. My grandmother lived because of that act of love and because of that gift of blood. My grandmother lived until 1996, 47 more years. To this day, my family doesn't know the name of that soldier. My father wonders to this day if that stranger really was a soldier or an angel in uniform. Can you say, man? The blood that soldier gave was precious because it saved a life. But it didn't cost him his life. What makes the blood of Jesus so precious is not only does it save the lives of the lost and the damned, but it came to us because he was willing to give his life in order for that blood to touch our life. Can you say amen? That's why the blood of Jesus is not like the silver and gold that ransomed are paid by, that come at great cost, but not the cost of our life. The blood is precious because it transcends the cost of silver and gold and goes into the cost of one laying down the most precious gift of life. And that blood belongs to Jesus. It's exclusively his. The Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. In the Lord's Supper, we worship from our heart the gracious Father who gave us his Son, and we worship the Savior who laid down his life by the shedding of his precious blood. I've been looking at what brought spiritual revival and what are the ingredients and what is the after effect. And one of the things that came back to the church in force in every true revival was a new appreciation for communion. That had become ritualized and many times filled with man's tradition and sometimes very heresy. Amen. Was brought back in its pure form. People who've just come to Jesus when they're first told that there's something they can do, something they can actually do to express their love and appreciation for him called Holy Communion, participating in the Lord's Supper, it would just blow them away. This is from a journal. A leading feature of spiritual revival has been the tender-hearted affection present in remembering the Lord Jesus in his suffering and death. In America, the gospel went forth to the Indians in New Jersey through the missionary efforts and preaching of David Brainerd. Here and in other places, the Spirit of God mightily moved in the hearts of men. Spiritual revival was accompanied by a sincere appreciation of the Lord's Supper. David, see, in churches where people just go to get a blessing, they're not interested in pausing and really appreciating God. They just want God to do more for them and to them and to bless them and give them another dose of whatever. But when real revival comes, Jesus is exalted supremely. And the desire of the revived is to give him honor and to give him glory that is due him. We who hold him precious want to exalt him. We don't want to just sit in church and watch a praise team do the work. Can you say amen? We want to exalt him. Hallelujah. We want to praise him. We want to live a life that brings glory to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David Brainerd wrote in his journal on July 13th, 1746, and I'm going to quote, these are precious words from a man who gave his life ministering to the Indian people. He said, there appeared tender affection in the assembly under divine truth. My soul was also somewhat refreshed. I administered the Lord's Supper to 31 of the Indians today. God seemed to be real and present among us. The worshipers, listen to this, the worshipers were sweetly melted and refreshed. Oh, how they melted. When the elements were first uncovered, there was scarcely a dry eye among them when I took off the linen and showed them the symbols of Christ's body and Christ's blood. Oh, how those worshipers melted that we can do something that symbolizes something so holy, so precious, so priceless as the blood and body of Jesus that was given for us. Oh, how their hearts melted. I'm telling you, if our hearts could melt again. How many's ever been to a communion service when it was like making the announcements? It's that Sunday, you've got to do it, but you've got a lot on the agenda because the service has to be over at a gnat's eyebrow of 12 o'clock. Can you say amen? So let's get it on, get it over with, and get on with it. That is not how to receive Holy Communion. Can you say amen? I'd rather not have it than have it with an irreverent, unappreciative audience. Our hearts should be melted when we remember that we're bought with a price. Bought with a price. And we are not our own. There's a hope. Isn't it good to know that whatever you're looking for, that you can find it in Jesus? That there is a hope for you in Him? That there's hope for everybody in this room this morning? Let me hurry and close with this. In the book of List, it claims that the Cape of Good Hope, have you ever any heard down in Africa, down in South Africa where the seas meet, it's called the Cape of Good Hope. Well, it's a misnomer, actually. Bartholomew Dias, the Portuguese explorer, came around the southern tip of Africa. He found the sea so rough that he called it the Cape of Storms. Amen? Say that with me, the Cape of Storms. But afraid that the name would scare away any future explorers, the King of Portugal changed the name from the Cape of Storms to the Cape of Good Hope. Amen? I hope I get through this. That's exactly right. We all accept that life is filled with many storms, but with God's help, there is hope in the midst of the storm. Isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know that we're about to celebrate something today that has put you into a relationship with God, that no matter if your house is a right dead center of the Cape of Storms, amen, it can actually become right in the midst of your storm today, the Cape of Good Hope. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know there's hope in Jesus? Yes. Biblically defined, you know what hope is? The glad expectation of future good. It means that even through this, good is bound to come if I keep exalting the Lord and worshiping Him and appreciating Him and appropriating faith. Good is going to come to me in spite of this intended evil. I like what Henry Nouwen said. Listen carefully as we close and get ready to receive communion this morning. He said there are many contradictions in our lives. Somebody say, tell me about it. Such as being home while feeling homeless, being busy while feeling bored, being popular while feeling lonely, being believers while feeling many doubts. It can frustrate, irritate, and even discourage us. They make us feel we are never fully present. Every door that opens for us, we see how many more doors are closed, but there's another response. The same contradictions can bring us into touch with a deeper longing for the fulfillment of a desire that lives beneath all desires and that only God can satisfy. Contradictions, thus understood, create the friction and holy tension that can help us move toward God. If you haven't found what you're looking for in life, let it propel you toward God. Hallelujah. Because He has what you're looking for regardless of what you may have lost in life. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Isn't that good to know? You say, boy, I wish I had that family that I saw on television. Wouldn't it be great to have the Walton family? Wouldn't it be great if John Boy was your son and Elizabeth was your daughter? Or no, better yet, one of those little gals from the Little House on the Prairie. Sweetest hearts you ever saw in your life. Love Mama and Daddy and Elvis. Can you say amen? I mean, these are sweet kids. Can you say amen? Well, he wasn't around. But you know what I'm talking about. Just sweet American kids, and respectful, honorable, obedient. Wouldn't it be great to have a family like that? I dare say if the enemy can use your loved ones, the Bible said that, Jesus said, if you think becoming a Christian is going to put you in the Cape of Good Hope, the only way it can put you there is by faith, because in reality, life is going to put you at the Cape of Storms. Amen. You're going to have storms in your life. And there are some people you can leave jobs with a bad boss and never look back. Amen. Boss ain't going to follow you, and you don't have to go see him no more. When it's over, it's over. My greatest leverage at work is that I don't care to be gone. And they all know it, so they can't use that over me. Amen. I say, well, if you can't, we'll get someone that can. Go right ahead. I've been here 10.5 years. I ain't seen nobody who can yet. But anyway, if you think you can, go. Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. Please stay. I went in one time, and I asked to be led. I said, we're going to like 7 people off. I said, I just went in and said, I want to be number one. I mean, let somebody, you know, else stay. I'll go. I got other things to do, and the schedule is kind of bad, and I'll be number one. And they wouldn't let me go. My punishment for asking to leave was making me stay. See, if they offer you a job and you turn it down, you don't get on unemployment and all that kind of stuff, and you can't draw benefits till you get another job. So I decided to stay. But God wanted me to stay because soon after that, I was able to literally be instrumental in leading somebody to the Lord on the job. God knows exactly what he's doing. Even when we're frustrated and ready to quit, God knows exactly what he's doing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a sweet, wonderful Savior that we have. Amen. No matter what the storm is in your life. Amen. It'd be great to have everything great, but it's not that way. Jesus said, I came to send a sword, not to put peace on the earth, circumstantial peace. Amen. This is inner peace that has to come. Circumstantially, he said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Can you say amen? If I'm cheerful, you think I don't have problems. No, I'm cheerful because he has overcome the world, and I'm looking to him, amen, to take me through. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise today. He's promised it. He's promised it. Helen Keller, what a wonderful symbol of overcoming. Helen Keller says, although the world is full of suffering, it's also full of the overcoming of it. Can you say amen? You can't avoid it in this world, but you're going to either become a victim or you're going to become a victor. And the choice isn't going to be your circumstance. Going to be your attitude. My beloved brethren, count it all joy. Everybody say attitude. Amen. When you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, let patience have her perfect worth, that you might be perfect and entire. There's that fulfillment in him that only comes from him, wanting nothing. Can you say amen? While you wait upon the Lord, you mount up within with wings of an eagle. Even though without you've taken the hit and emotionally you're spent, inside you begin to soar. And there, fulfilling the scripture, when I am weak, then am I made strong. Somebody do this today. I know you got angel wings. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the outside, I've taken the hit, but amen, we're strengthened with might in the inward man. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they will not faint. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. Let's eat the bread. Let's drink the cup. Let's open our hearts anew to the Holy Spirit to manifest Jesus to us. Let's lift up our Savior and declare our love and devotion. Let's eat of his body. Let's drink of his blood. Hallelujah. Let me revive you, that I may restore you, saith God. That I may restore unto you the years that the caterpillar, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the locust have eaten. Let me reverse the curse, saith the Lord. Let me give you the blessing that I have promised. Let me stir your heart, that I may fulfill your life, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Question is asked during this communion is where you hold Christ in your heart. What place does he have in your heart? See, when he was first, everything else fell into place. Your giving, no problem. Church attendance, no problem. The Word of God, listening, hearing, applying. You lived to learn so that you could obey. your heart was melted like those Indians when they saw the elements that we're about to receive this morning that represented something so precious to them. Their hearts just melted to think that there was a God in heaven that would come down, condescend to come into this earth and take on flesh and hang and suffer and die to give them eternal life. Oh, that our hearts could melt this morning at the same truth and the same prospect, so that God could move to us and through us in a fresh, new surge of spiritual fulfillment and spiritual enthusiasm and zeal and fervency. God is so good today. We can become a sleepy little church on the corner, just a church-going Sunday morning saint, that the relevance of God throughout our troubles and our life is non-existent, or we can be a people of faith. And though we live in a world that is surely called the Cape of Troubles and Tumult, it can become the Cape of Good Hope. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, because there's a God that if whatever strips all the other stuff away, if we turn to Him and find in Him what we couldn't have found in the stuff anyway, amen, then you're going to be stronger, not weaker, because of your trial, because of your test. Amen? But if you keep chasing your tail, we're going to meet Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. If you don't ever eat of His blood and drink of His body, that's not cannibalism. They turned back when Jesus said that. He said, if you don't have no part with me, if that don't happen. This is not just a church thing. This is a personal relationship thing. Can you say, man? This is intimacy with God. You can't put Him on the shelf till Sunday and pull Him off the shelf and participate spiritually in communion with Him. He wants you to walk with Him. He designed you to walk with Him. In the cool of the day, I see that as either morning or evening, but knowing God, it was both. First thing in the morning and last thing at night. Can you say amen? There's two cools of the day, isn't there? Amen. We assume morning, but there's two cools. There's a cool in the morning just before the sunrise, and there's a cool in the evening just as the sun sets. Can you say amen? And in the cool of every day, in God's plan for creation, for man, what did He do? When Adam, before Adam sinned, what did God do in the cool of every day? In the cool of every single day. Everybody say every day. Not just one day, every day, in the cool of the day, God came down and walked with man. Hallelujah. Amen. And the reason He could be so fulfilled when He brought Him Eve was He was already fulfilled in His God. Hallelujah. Enoch walked with God, the seventh from Adam. What happened? And he was not. Because God took him. You know what's going to happen at the rapture? Amen. Same thing that happened to Enoch, which is a preview of things to come. Amen. There is a church that is going to grow up and going to grow up in Him. Hallelujah. And have a heart for Him that nothing can take away. Praise God. And we're going to walk with God, and He's going to walk with us. And one of these days the trump is going to sound. Hallelujah. And we're not going to be here anymore. Can you say amen? Because we're going home with Him that we love and that we long for. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Brothers, would you come?